now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, it's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk. My name's Mick Coyle, the boys are back and they're taking your calls on the biggest Liverpool and Everton issues. Should the Blues be encouraging Alisher Usmanov to be investing his rubles in the club? And how do Silva's signings fit into the Everton 11 after missing match day one? For the Reds, is James Milner undroppable after his West Ham performance? And what rotations are you happy to see going into Monday's game? Also on the agenda tonight, Kevin De Bruyne is out for a number of months. Is he the one player City can't replace? And La Liga is off to play actual league games in the United States as part of a new media deal. So fancy switching Anfield for Anaheim or Goodison for Gotham? Have your say too. Don't forget, the Blues are back at Goodison this Saturday. Everton versus Danny Ings in Southampton. Liverpool have their favourite away day of the season, Crystal Palace, on Monday night. 0151 472 0967 or tweet us at Radio City 967. Get on board tonight. Sharpie's here, Aldo's here. Evening, gents.
Evening, Mick.
I must have been sleeping for the last few days. What's that La Liga?
So La Liga announced a deal today with a group called Relevant that they were going to play games in the continent of the United States, official La Liga games.
One game?
At least one game, but each club would potentially play one game.
Right, okay.
That's a big one, isn't it?
It wouldn't work because it could be your home game that you lose out on, or your away game. That wouldn't make sense. You'd have to play two to balance it off, surely.
Maybe so, but there you go. So double as many games as you think. But
I think it's just getting... Well, listen, you can look at it. It's getting the Liga into the minds of American supporters, isn't it? You can understand the logic in it. How it's going to happen remains to be seen. But I don't see any reason why not. I think the English Premier League will eventually do it as well. I think they'll do it.
Talk about that for a while, spreading it around the globe, and don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, Spurs' new stadium is designed so that NFL games can be played there.
Clever,
so they're American clubs who are going, we'll give up our home games and go and play them somewhere else. It wouldn't take a lot, would it, for Liverpool to go and knock on a door in the Far East and go, can we play a home game with you? They'd be welcome with open arms. There'd be 100,000 people there,
absolutely,
wouldn't there?
Absolutely, they would. Yeah. Well, you've seen it when they play Man United away, and it's over 100,000, and apparently 70% was Liverpool fans, which was crazy with Man United the way they are around the world. So it's interesting, but I don't know.
Mate, you'd be on that trip, wouldn't you?
The Sharpie, if they talk about
bit of golf there, Sharpie, anyway.
But if you talk about the game getting away from the normal fan, the average everyday Joe or Joanne, that's an example, isn't it? They go, you know what, you can't even come to this one, we're taking it abroad.
Listen, I think clubs have forgot the fans a long, long time ago. It's not just this decision. You know, you can look over the years at what they've done and price hikes and everything else, and the ordinary fans have been priced out of it. You know, we've had callers on the show as well talking about, you know, whether it be Liverpool or whatever, price increases in tickets. So, listen, they're looking at the bigger picture, football clubs, and if the Premier League came up and said, this is what's happening, listen, all the clubs would say, yeah, okay, we're for that. So, listen, they're not doing it for nothing. It'll be beneficial, you know, whether it be in monetary terms or publicity worldwide. So, be an interesting one. But as John said, deciding when and where and how is
Tim Walton. He wants to talk about the club captaincy at the moment. Evening, Steve. You're on with Sharpie and Aldo.
Evening, lads. He's all right.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah, my point is just, to be honest, John, I'd like to just say I like Henderson. I think he's been a great servant to the club, but I don't know whether he's a guaranteed starter in our midfield anymore. I think the next couple of months will probably decide that, but I don't know whether maybe changing the captaincies. I don't know, maybe it's an option. I see more Van Dijk being a future Liverpool captain. I think we all do, and I don't think Henderson's done anything bad, but I just think you've got to have a Liverpool captaincy. When you're Liverpool captain, you've got to be a guaranteed starter in the team. And I don't know whether he just is, or whether he's on the fringes at the moment. I don't know what you think, John.
I think he's, you know, he does well for us. He's a leader. He strives to be a leader, and you know the experience has helped him better to deal with it. But I agree with you. You know, he picks up a few injuries, Jordan, unfortunately, with his foot and whatever, and Yeah, you're looking ideally at the team. Van Dijk is a leader. You know, he's just titanic in many, many ways. And he's the one that everyone would give the captaincy because you're looking at the midfield. And you're right, you know, it might be the games where Jordan's not starting because you've got, you know, Milner, Henderson, Fabinho, Wijnaldum, Keita, you know, Chamberlain when he comes back, Young Jones, who's going to be an excellent player. So yeah, the manager might chop and change it there in some games, you know. It's a fair comment from you. I couldn't understand. I know it was only against Torino, but making... not giving the captaincy to Van Dijk, you know, and obviously the fullback Moreno had the captaincy. I couldn't see the logic in that in many, many ways. But for me, you know, I would say down the road. But Jordan Henderson, to me, I really like Jordan Henderson. I think he does great for us in the position. But you know, it's a fair comment from you. Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's a funny thing, isn't it? Because I think I read somewhere that Klopp doesn't see the Liverpool captaincy as a major thing. Mm. I think I read somewhere that he gives it to people just on how long they've been at the club as a servant. Because I think Sturridge has had it as well. He's been given the captaincy for a couple of pre-season friendlies as well. And I think he just gives it to the next in line and the longest serving. And he doesn't see it being a massive thing. Whereas I think when you look through Liverpool's history, I mean, we've been fortunate to have Steven Gerrard as the captain for the last 10 years or so, but yeah. I just think you know your captain should be the first name on the team sheet, guaranteed starter and a leader. And just I think Henderson is a great player, and he's shown that he's got leadership qualities. I just don't know whether, as time ticks on this year, whether he's going to be a guaranteed starter.
Do you think it's such a big thing now? I think in the past, I think you're spot on about captains and what they do for the team and everything else. But as John said, or you said about Klopp not really, you know, bothering about it. You look at Milner, who could take the captaincy, Henderson as well. I don't think it's such a big thing now. You know, you get people have club captains and then the captains on the pitch. But I understand with the history and everything else. But I just don't think, certainly with the foreign managers, I don't think it's such a big thing, the way they just pass the armband around.
I think we're a little bit old-fashioned. We'd go with that. We'd want a leader. You want your one man to be the captain. Perhaps with rotation, you know, because that's come into football a lot over the last so many years, you know, tinkering with it and all that. So players play and don't play. And all. So perhaps you have to have two or maybe three within the squad, you know, for when it happens.
But if you're going to go Thompson, Souness, Gerrard, Carragher, Moreno, Liverpool fans will think, hang on a minute, that's not what our captain is.
It didn't make sense, you know. It's only a friendly anyway, so maybe to give lad a little bit of a perk up, you know, pat on the back because, you know, he's not highly rated as such. I don't know, that's probably the logic behind it. But I watched the game the weekend, and Van Dijk, he talked right through it. Brilliant he was. That's what you want to see from your centre-half. Sharpie will tell you, you know, talking to Gomez all the time, talking to the full-backs. Go on, Steve.
One just last point about, it was interesting reading the comments about what Gary Neville said about Van Dijk. I don't know if you read them, John.
I read them in the paper. It didn't seem...
But he's basically done a U-turn. He said when Van Dijk signed for Liverpool, he said he didn't think he'd make such an impact that he has. And he basically identified him similar to Jaap Stam. The fact that he manhandles players off the ball and stuff like that. And I was thinking, do you know what? I think what you'll find is that he's probably a better player than Van Dijk.
What? He surpassed my expectations, you have to say. And obviously, since he joined the club, you know, Neymar's gone for 200 million. Obviously, you look at the 70 million now, it doesn't seem that much. It's mad like to say that, but it doesn't, you know. Great
buy. He's just a fantastic talker, isn't he? I mean, he just commands that back line.
You know, he's
so much.
He reads the game really well. You know, he can pass the ball. You know, he can even take free kicks, by the way. He scores some great free kicks for Celtic down the road. But I don't expect him to do too much.
He won't have much chance, really, in that Liverpool team.
Steve, thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate that. I think a lot of people would look at Liverpool and go, Van Dijk is an absolutely obvious choice. Obvious. But of course, Jordan Henderson's
there. So is
but if you can't
James
get in
Milner.
The team.
The two of them, you know, they do it well whenever they've been the captain. Milner as well, you know, he's had the armband. And he's a great experienced player. And he does it well, yeah, absolutely.
0151 472 0967. We'll continue that conversation in a few moments' time. You want to get on board, who you want to see wearing the red armband or the black armband, captain's armband for the Reds. Get on board, 0151 472 0967. We're going to speak to Jimmy next. He wants to talk Bramley Moore.
Radio City Talk Travel Update with One Call Taxi app. Pull your finger out. Download the app today.
Eastanks remains closed at Knowsley between Knowsley Lane and Blindfoot Road. Mersey Gateway Bridge heading from Runcorn into Widnes, lane 303 is blocked by an accident. And the M6 southbound, there are delays from 19 at Knutsford down to 17. Lane 303 is blocked at 17. I'm Sarah Hughes, and that's the latest.
Your time is now, and every second counts. Register with the Open University today, and you'll soon see the difference. Pick up that pay rise before picking up your degree. Get that promotion before getting to graduation. Be your future self sooner with our career-boosting courses. Visit openuniversity.co.uk before time runs out. Registration closes the 13th of September. The Open University. What's stopping you? This is Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk.
Red and blue banter and debate.
Call now. 0151 4720 967.
The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
10 to 7. My name's Mick Coyle. We've got Aldo and Sharpie here, the Radio City Legends. We're talking red, we're talking blue. Let's get a blue lined up. Jimmy's a blue. We kept Jimmy hanging on the line during the break there. Jimmy, you want to talk about Bramley Moore and the game's just gone?
Yeah, how are you, lads? Nice to be back.
Hello, Jim.
Hello?
Hi, hello, Jim. Mate. Yeah, go on.
Jim, yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Turn your radio off in the background, mate. We'll speak to you down the phone. Here we go. We've been doing this long enough, haven't we? Jim, we'll give you a second now where you get yourself sorted. Radio off in the background. We want to hear your points. Are you there now, pal?
Hello?
Happy that's days. Better. Go on, Jimmy.
Yeah, really made up on Saturday, but the attitude. Mm. Complete difference from Allardyce last year. No. The fact that he was still going for it with 10 men is really good.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think you're spot on. I think the pre-season worried a lot of Evertonians because the performances weren't great and they were shipping goals, although we conceded another two at the weekend. OK, went down to 10 men, but you're spot on. I thought at least they showed more fight and passion to get a result than we saw all last season, for the last 18 months even. So there was positives to take from it, but the disappointing was obviously sending off and, you know, the three-game suspension that Jags will get. But certainly there looks a difference. Training looks as if it's got them up to shape. You know, they look sharper. They look more of a threat going forward, which is something we couldn't say last year.
Mm-hmm. What I was going to say, Graham, you know, in the back, like when it all settles down, who do you reckon will be our first 11?
Oof. Well, I was just talking about that, Jimmy, before we came in, and it's a really difficult one. I'm looking at the game at Southampton and I'm thinking, does he make many changes from that? Obviously, Jagielka is suspended. So I would expect maybe Zouma to come in simply because he probably knows the Premiership rather than the boy Mina, who's only just arrived this week. Listen, young Mason Holgate did a good job when he came on at Wolves, but I think he may well go for Zouma and Keane. Obviously, with Baines at left-back, who I thought played well at the weekend, or Seamus Coleman at the right. I think that'll be the only change. You know, I think Walcott,
I think Mason Holgate deserves a run. I'd have him before Keane.
Well, yeah, but I think the fact that you look at the start, and I think Mason's had a slight injury in the pre-season kind of thing, I think. But when he named his team last week, you know, Mason was on the bench and Michael Keane, who I thought did okay last week, played. So I think if the change it's going to be, I think will be Zouma in there. Listen, the Mason might feel a little bit hard done to, but I think the fact that he's signing these players and, you know, when they're all fit, you probably think he's going to play Zouma and Mina.
That'd be very interesting, isn't it?
It is. And then you've got the boy Gomez to come back.
Midfield.
Yeah.
Just Gomez, we believe, is a player.
Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting. Yeah. But listen, how often, at least what I'll say is that the players he's brought in seem to be exciting. Listen, only time will tell whether they click or they don't. But certainly I think there's a lot more optimism amongst the fans than there has been in the last 18 months. At least there's a sign that they like to get forward. I still think that that has been their Achilles heel, conceding too many goals. But hopefully with the signing of Zuma and Mina and Dania and people like that, that gives us a little bit more security at the back. But certainly the offensive players are looking a lot better, and we look more of a threat than we have done for the last 18 months.
Jimmy, let me ask you this. Would you not like to see, going into a game against Southampton at home, some of these new signings make an appearance in what should be a winnable game in front of a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday?
Yeah, what I've seen in Southampton last week against Burnley, they looked very toothless. I'd go really flat-minded. I wouldn't have two older midfielders. I wouldn't have Snyder and Guy.
No.
I'd just have Guy and maybe an extra... If Bernard told him in midfield, really go for it. From the off.
Yeah, you know, good point, Jim.
Be negative.
Yeah, good point. I just think, looking at it, I think they've had a week, you know, this week training. Whether they're up to it, obviously the manager will have looked at them in training and will decide. If they don't start, I certainly see a lot of them on the bench. And it'll be interesting now, because it seems it's a stronger squad where you've basically got two people fighting for every position now. And it's a lot healthier than what it was at the tail end of last season. The only one I would say that I thought Theo Walcott struggled a little bit on Saturday, but again he's been overcoming an injury as well. But I'm sure there's more to come from him as well. So certainly, Jimmy, from an attacking point of view, I think we've got more options now than we had last year.
All right, Jimmy, thanks for the call, pal.
Cheers.
There you go. I think he persuaded you then, Sharpie.
What was that?
To go with Bernard instead of Schneidlin, maybe?
No. Listen, the performance was good last year. And what you've got to remember as well, the lads have only been there a week. You know, you might decide, stay with what I had last week, who put in a good performance. Anybody who drops out from last week, you know, they'll feel hard done by, because I thought they all played well. But listen, they've got a squad now that they can change it. But I think you've got to give them time. And the interesting one for me, I probably said it in the opening show, was the boy Bernard, and I say his little boy. And you think Coutinho is small and all that. This guy's, I'd say, smaller than Coutinho, honestly. And I looked at him at first.
We'll
take him all day long. But when I saw him at first, I thought, he's 15. I thought, wow, he's 15. And you think, well, he's got to get used to the hustle and bustle of the Premier League as well. But you look at the small players, we look at Coutinho, we look at the boys at Manchester City as well. They're not
Silver.
They're not the biggest.
Is he a false number nine? Is he plays in the hole behind?
He can play in the 10. I think he can play in wide positions as well. But I think he's a very good footballer. And I heard good things about him. I heard about the Gomez boy as well. Good things about him. So, as I said, they've got options now. Only time will tell whether they turn out to be good or bad.
But in terms of options there, you've named your 11, give or take. But really, if you look at Dania, the options that might be there when Jagielka returns at centre-half, Mina, Zuma, Keane. Outside of the right-back there, who Everton have got young players who could come in, you're looking at an alternative in every position there.
But that's what you're going to do in the present game. That's what you have to strive for.
But when
that's
was the last time Everton were able to do that?
No, I know. Not for a long time.
You've got to have that. We've got the Champions League, which Everton's got the two cups in there. And this year they want to get in Europe one way or another. You know, and you've got to strive to have two players in every position.
Yep.
And the amount of money that's coming into the game now, you can afford to do that. You know, within what strategy and what money you've got, you know, to go out there and get what you can. Get the best you can for each player.
We've got a next caller coming up who is a supporter of two different sides.
It's not Rangers and Celtic.
Everton
or Liverpool.
it's Celtic and Everton.
Oh, I know. We've had them one before.
Jim's on. Yeah, hey up, Jim. You're on with Sharpie and
Arno. He won't be too happy tonight anyway. How does Celtic go on in that European game, Jim?
Oh, a nightmare.
It's nice to be in it, you know. you see, as you brought up, Graham, you know, the new Glasgow club at 6 years old, you know, fair play, they've started okay. do we want to go there, Graham? Have you got an hour?
No, listen, you've got more than an hour to talk about Celtic's troubles at the moment, mate. You know them as well as I do.
Two games, and there's trouble.
No, there's not. Hey, they're not on the pitch, off the field.
Yeah, well, there always is, isn't it? That's what happens with big clubs. I'm just surprised it's got out in the open, but I think Brendan's thrown his dummy out the pram a wee bit. There's a bit of both, you know, going on there. But they didn't strengthen. Everybody's been saying it for the last couple of years. Stood still a little bit. They're still good enough to do the stuff there.
Of course they are.
They could have won both games, Graham.
Yeah, of course they are. But the worrying thing for me is that, you know, listen, I still keep in touch with boys that go to Celtic and everything else. And I just that, you know, it's all right. I'm saying that he's not having the money to spend, and you know, he spent on centre halves. He bought a French boy last year. It hasn't really happened for him, the centre back.
No, the German guy.
Is
yeah,
a German
Cooper,
guy.
Cooper.
Yeah. So they said what they're saying. What Celtic are saying? Well, hold on a minute. We've backed you, and your buying policy hasn't been great. You know, so you can understand both sides of it. And of course, Brendan Rodgers wants to compete. I can fully understand that. But still, with the squad they've got, and I know the boy Boyata wants to go now, but still with the squad they've got, you'd still think that they're more than odds-on favourites to win the league and everything else.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot closer, you know, with Steve Gerrard, what he's doing at Rangers. You know, people say Celtic are miles ahead. You know, I'm a closet Celtic fan anyway. Yeah, I always have been. But I do think it'll be closer than what people think. I think Celtic will still win the league, but Rangers will put up a really good show with Steve at the helm. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think Celtic are still quite a bit ahead there. They've got enough in it.
Yeah, I'm just saying it'll be closer than what a lot of Celtic fans think, Jim. You know.
Yeah, well, they always are. Mm. You know, they've had a couple of draws at Celtic Park over the last couple of seasons. And it's one of them, and it's going for you. It goes in spades, and you get away with it, and it happens. Mm-hmm. You get these lucky breaks. Mm. I don't actually think Celtic were that bad. Awful defending.
Yeah.
But you know, we're talking about this, the big thing with the Champions League getting to it. Mm. I absolutely was disgusted. And the performance of Celtic against Barcelona and PSG when we got humped by 6 goals. I don't want to be seeing that.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan of parking the bus, but, you know, there's a bit of self-respect that you've got to do it. And we all love the beautiful game. You know, I'm old enough to remember Brazil 70 and that great side that you played in 85, Graham, you know. Mm. And, you know, you can relate to that.
Mm. I think you're right. I think, Jim, all the lads I speak to as well is the European results. It's all well and good getting there, which are great nights at Celtic Park as well, but his results in Europe have been poor. Have been really, really poor.
It's the same with Liverpool. You know, Brendan done it with Real Madrid. But, you know, he succumbed in the second leg and didn't play Steve Gerrard, if you remember. He's not been great in Europe, you know, Brendan. Doing really well in the league, obviously, for Celtic.
Was that the oddest thing that Brendan Rodgers did in his entire time outside of signing Mario Balotelli? That he went to the Bernabeu and rested players so he could do better in a league and the chance of qualifying for a competition he was already in.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the moment where people were going, what's going on with this fella?
That was, to do that.
I'm not going to get in. You know, his record stands up there well. But,
yeah, he's done a good job, yeah.
Your point there, Graham, about the money is absolutely right. He's had a bit of money spent. It's grand to think that, funny enough, when you read something there, you go and look at it and do a little bit of research before you start thinking it. And he spent $25 million, bought a guy in at 9, apparently. He's got 7 for Armstrong. Forget the Van Dijk money and all the others coming in. It's not all about the money. It's paying them.
Yeah.
You know, when you've got a guy from Aberdeen going to Salford.
Yeah. Yeah.
And more money, you know, you're saving yourself. And the interesting one I read the other day was Bournemouth getting 11,000, made £110
million. Mm.
£110 million.
That's right.
You know,
that's the way it works. Now the Premiership.
Haven't got a chance.
Where Celtic's concerned, that the biggest problem they've got now, the amount of money that they would have got by getting to the group stages, I've seen them through the last few years, you know, and the reason why Brendan's been able to spend £25 million. You might struggle next year, you know, with the funds.
But you can't run a football club waiting, can you, to think, will we qualify for the Champions League? If we do, then you can spend some money. It's £2-3 million to get into Europa, £13 million to get into the Champions League. Jim, thanks for your call. It might be a difficult season for you. You might only win the double this year. Thanks for your time.
We'll be well in there. And the Blues have started well, which is a great bonus
there
as well.
We go. So hey, good. We knew we'd get a mention for one of our Merseyside teams in there too. 0151 472 0967. The legends are here. If you want to call up about any matters, but it helps if it's Liverpool or Everton. We like a bit of Celtic to throw into the mix too, here on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Call now 0151 4720 967.
An hour of football banter and debate. The Legends with Graham Sharp and John Aldridge.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
My name's Mick. I'm in for Steve Hothersall tonight between now and 7:30. We're going to try and do that quiz, including the mystery voice. We'll see how that one plays out. Sharpie and Alder here. They're taking your calls on 0151 472 0967. I tell you what, we've got a great caller on the line next. A young man who left Liverpool Football Club to pursue his career elsewhere. He stepped down a league, but I tell you what, he's stepping up again. Connor Cody joins us on the programme from Wolverhampton Wanderers. Connor, thanks for your time, pal.
It's all right, mate. No problem at all.
Hey, congratulations. You made it back to the Premier League as well, and you're in the starting 11 with all the changes going on at Wolves this summer. Will you show you your place?
Oh, thank you very much. It means a lot. No, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. The club's done some fantastic things this summer, and it was a pleasure to be involved on Saturday. It was.
How did you find Conor Sharpie here? How did you find Saturday? Atmosphere was a different class. I was down at the game. Really, really good start. Did you find it difficult?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Sharp. I think the first 20, I think our nerves shown in terms of there's not really before, and we grew up watching this competition, and it's one where we were all privileged to be there. I think we realised after 20 that the boys deserved to be there, and it was one of them games. We all knew how tough Everton. They're a fantastic side with some brilliant players, but I think after that first 20 minutes when we got to grips with it, we'd done okay, and I think it was a good start from us, really.
As a centre-half, I'm going to ask you, was it a red card?
Do you know what? Being from a Wolves point of view and being from a Bayern's point of view, when you watch it back, I've been involved in.
Yeah.
I took myself for it a couple of years ago. So if you're going by this day and age, I think it was. I can see why people don't think it was. Yeah. I really can. And I think I'd be the same if it happened to us as a Wolves player. But I can't. It's such a difficult job for the referees these days.
Although I know you've been hugely impressed with Conor
and
the way he's gone about his business as well. Absolutely. When you leave Liverpool, people say it's always, you know, a step down as well. Conor's a great example of somebody who actually, when you apply yourself, you show what you've learned through Liverpool Football Club, you can go on to have a good career and a great career.
Absolutely. And you want to prove them wrong. You know, there was no difference when I went to Spain. You know, every goal was to prove the club wrong for selling me. You know, I think Conor probably the same, you know, because... Perhaps he was a little bit unfortunate in many ways. I thought Liverpool would have kept him on. You know, he's doing great things. Local lad, which makes a big difference. You know, so I was sorry to see him go. You know, to be quite honest, I thought he might have just been given a bit more time. But he's done brilliant, and he's proven wrong. He's getting better, better by game, better with experience. And by the end of this season, he'll be a lot better for being in the Premiership for 12 months. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Conor, can I ask you about Ruben Neves? I mean, we see him on a football field, but you see him in training. What sort of stuff does he get up to? Because he's unreal at times.
Yeah, and you know what? He's really special. He's really, really special. I mean, in terms of how he plays and how he can dictate a game of football, it's fun. I'm the same as most Wolves fans. I can't wait to see what he does this year and how he improves. But he really, really is a spectacular footballer. I mean, I think he's a great goal. And I think especially the assist as well, because we see him do free kicks like that quite often in training. But I think the assist for the second goal, it's absolutely, it's a fantastic ball. And it's a great header from Raul, but the cross makes it. And like I said, the way he can dictate a game of football and move the ball and manipulate the football, he's a fantastic player and a real talent.
I was watching it and I'm thinking when he got the ball for the second goal, I'm thinking, close him down. Close him down. Don't let him cross it. I'm thinking he's got that much quality and we stood off him and he's put a great ball in the back post and the boys had scored by a good header. But you could see, and I totally agree with you, Conor. I thought the first 20 minutes you were kind of feeling your way into it. If I'm honest, I expected maybe a little bit more because the crowd were that up for you. And I'm thinking, okay, fair enough. And it was a little bit nervy. A few balls went out, cross field balls went out. But then you could feel it, you know, when he got the goals and you're thinking, yeah, okay. And the free kick came at a great time for you. You got in of there course. Kind of thing. But it was never, listen, it was an exciting game. It was a really exciting game.
Good stadium.
Football club as well, Conor, I was speaking to some Wolves fans as well and they talk about in the future as well and the fact that looking at a new stadium and increasing the capacity. The crowd were fantastic. The atmosphere was great. So, they need that to be like that every home game because we know it's going to be tougher in the Premier League, but you know it's been a good start.
But for Conor himself, you know the way they play Conor, it'll suit your game because they're not like a lot of teams come up. With all due respect to them, we'll mix it up. They'll play long balls. And you know the plays he's brought in, and you've got to play football. You've got to get to the middle and play football. So that will help you get on the ball a lot more than what perhaps you would have done with different manager Conor, wouldn't it?
Yeah, of course. And you've seen it with us last year as well. We like to get the ball down and play. We play a certain formation that not many teams play. And the manager's ideas are fantastic. They really, really are. And the way he wants to play, and like I said, the way he wants to move the ball around. Yeah, because we've seen that against Everton on Saturday. It's quite, when you play in the Championship, you can move teams. And it's not better. It's just the quality is obviously a lot higher. Whereas Everton are very disciplined in the shape in terms of how they play. They kept the shape really and manoeuvre them and hard to move the ball and get them out of shape. So it's something we need to improve on. But I think for our first game in the Premier League, where, like I said, played there before, I think it's a real good step and one that we need to learn and improve as quick as possible.
Nice one, Connor. Thanks for your time tonight, pal. Can I just ask you, is there an expectation, mate, about where you expect as a squad to finish this season? Yeah. Obviously, clubs will come up and talk about survival, but I get a sense from Wolves that you want more than that.
Yeah, I think we read a lot of things. We see a lot of things. Believe me, as players, we read everything. We're big football fans as well. And we see people talking about, Wolves might do this, Wolves might do that. But seriously, from an inner point of view and from being inside the football club and with the lads and with the manager, it's a game at a time for us. It's such a huge step for everybody within the football club. And this club craved this for many, many years. And we need to make sure that we take each game as it comes, learn, improve off the manager as much as possible. And then we'll see where it takes us from there. But it definitely is a game-by-game mentality at the minute, without a doubt.
Enjoy it, mate. I'm just going to say very, very quick. I bet the big boy Bowley doesn't lose many arguments. What a size. Many.
The boys try to fine him quite a bit, and he never pays. So you can't really get him, believe me. He's quite tight as well when he comes to the challenge.
Hey, Connor, he's not listening to this.
Thanks for your time, mate. That's Connor Cody on the programme tonight. It's the Radio City Legends as well. Top lad. And sometimes, you know, you hear about these players coming through, they disappear, and you go, whatever happened to them? And then suddenly they re-emerge on the scene as well,
with good
reputations and building reputations all the time. Big changes at Wolves, but Connor Cody very much at the heart of that. Let's go back to the lines. Sorry, but we're keeping Frank and Dingle hanging on. Sorry, Frank, we had a Premier League footballer there we had to speak about. You want to talk about the state of the game and the Jags' red card? Where do you want to start tonight?
It was more or less the red card when the only thing for me you can have a go at Jagielka for was his first touch. But after his first touch, he's tried to recover it, and he's won the ball, and all right, his momentum has took him to the man. Now, when I was watching the game at half time, they had two absolute galoots in the studio, and Martin Keown and Mick McCarthy, and they both said it was a red card. And I said, where's the game going here? Because in hindsight, what happened? It was a double whammy for Everton. He went down to 10 men and he scored the free kick. So in hindsight, Jagielka should have just let him go through and went, go ahead, lad, score. It's 1-1 and I stay on the pitch.
Yeah.
And Mick McCarthy, John Holt,
yep.
And great, they've been managers. Now, if that would have happened, you get in at half time and you're absolutely going ballistic with your centre half by saying, why haven't you tried to win the ball there and make up for your mistake? I mean, I thought it was a genuine attempt, and there's no way when you lunge at the ball, you can just take the ball and stop. Your momentum carries you on to the player. And
gone.
We're losing you on the line there, Frank. Sharpie, do you want to pick up any of those points there?
I agree.
Can I just say, Sharpie, what I play with Mick McCarthy, his second touch was like Jags' first touch. Take it from.
Yeah. But listen, those two, Martin Keown and Mick McCarthy, would have done the exact same thing and got away with it.
100%.
They made a mistake and they went in. I keep saying it, and at the time I thought, he's won the ball because the ball went up the field. Saw it again the second time in a slow down replay. And you can see there's contact in the boy's ankle, but he's won the ball first. So, listen, I thought it was harsh. I thought, if anything, it was a good tackle, but if we were going to do anything, it was going to be a yellow card. So I thought a red card was harsh. But then to overturn the referee and say it wasn't for stopping a deliberate goal-scoring opportunity, it was violent conduct, or was it?
Did he get three games?
Get three games for it now.
That's a double whammy, isn't it?
So the referee has been told he's wrong. You know, but I just think Jags has been treated a little bit harshly. I can understand people saying the game's changed. I fully understand that. But I honestly thought he won the ball. And listen, the boy Yota rolled around as if he'd two broken legs. And you can guarantee he got up and there wasn't anything wrong with him. So that tells you in itself.
Was the free kick where the tackle was made?
No, free kick.
That's the other thing which needed enforcing.
But listen, we talked about it before. John talked about it on Monday night and saying that other players should have been sharp enough and wise enough to say, hold on a minute, he's gone five. But in saying that, the referee, I thought, was poor. Listen, one game in, I'd be surprised. Not really, but we know it's a hard job. But I thought he got that wrong.
All right. We just had Dave lined up in West Derby. We'll get him back on the phone lines. 01514720967. Can I just mention the goalkeeping situation at Liverpool? Napoli have signed David Ospina from Arsenal. Mm. Arsenal brought in a replacement goalkeeper in the summer. Liverpool brought in a replacement goalkeeper in Alisson. Mm. Big money in the summer. Nobody in a football squad presumably wants to be third choice keeper. Mm. But going into the closure of the European transfer window, Simon Mignolet, Loris Karius, one of them will be third choice for Liverpool this year.
I'll be bluntly honest. I would try to offload Karius because just the way I see things. But I don't think Simon Mignolet will stay to be, you know, a number two goalkeeper. He had to put up with it for most of last year. I think he's a really good keeper, to be fair. He's got his faults, we all know that. We've talked about it many times on the show. But I think he'll be gone by the deadline, yeah, along with perhaps two or three other players.
But that's Mignolet leaving because he doesn't want to be a number two.
Understood.
Whereas actually, he might have to be a number three. One of those is going to be a number three goalkeeper.
I don't think one way or another, Liverpool will not keep three keepers on. You know, I don't see the sense in that. You know, but hey, if no one wants him, it's a predicament. I couldn't see anyone coming in for Karius at this present time. Mm. He's got to build up his reputation again, you know. Mm. So it's interesting, but I'm pretty sure Simon Mignolet, I think he's a really good keeper. Mm. He's got great points. Someone abroad will want him, I'd have thought.
Under 23 keeper, John, would he be the third keeper then?
You've got a couple of good young lads.
Right, okay.
Yeah, got a couple of good, very young lads, you know, an Irish lad and a Polish lad. They're really good lads.
If you're a European club, though, and you're looking at Liverpool, you could go in for Mignolet, couldn't you? And go, you're telling me you're going to be paying him his wages as a third choice keeper all season? Yeah. Loan deals, potential deals between now and the end of the month?
Yeah, I do think he'll go. Well, if he's got a good agent, put it this way, he'll go. If he's got a good agent, Mignolet.
I think he's got a good enough name in the game.
I think somebody will. He's a bit harsh, wasn't he, with Karius going in for...
I think somebody will take him.
As to say, Sharpie, I think he's a brilliant shot stopper. Mm. One of the best I've seen at Liverpool. Mm. Obviously, a couple of other points in his game, you know, questionable. Mm. But I'm sure they get a really good club out of that, I presume.
We were talking about Alisher Usmanov before and potential investment in Everton Football Club. Dave's in West Derby. Let's speak to Dave. Now you're on with Sharpie and Aldo, the Radio City legends, Dave.
Good evening, boys. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Dave.
All right, boys. I just want to start with the debate on Jags. I think anywhere else on the pitch would have been a yellow. Hmm. I think obviously where it happened and obviously the momentum of obviously going forward, the red card, but it was moved 5 yards to the right and then obviously to the centre of the goal, so you know,
that's a good point. What do you want to say about the investment in the club? Oh, we've lost him. There we go.
Lost a few tonight, haven't we? Whose fault is it, ours or is there something in the air?
Loris Karius is on the phone lines and they keep dropping.
That's terrible.
That is bad, that isn't
terrible,
it?
That's terrible.
I apologise for that one. Marcel Brands was talking about signing Andre Gomes. Mm-hmm. I asked Marco to talk with him because he knows him very well, and the player was enthusiastic about it. And then I went back to Barcelona. What's the manager of Everton doing, speaking to football players who play for other clubs? You can't be doing that, can you?
Yeah, why not? Could be friends. Could be, couldn't he? That happened. It's a grey area, but it could be friends. You know what? Listen. How naive are we to think that doesn't go on? Mm. That goes on all the time, whether it be kids, whether it be first team players, whatever. Obviously, Marco Silva knows the boy Gomes, looking at his situation at Barcelona. He's just sounded him out. You know, at the end of the day, there's still a lot of work to be done, but no, I don't think there's any harm in that.
I think we got Dave. Dave, just make your point, mate, about Usmanov and these potential rubles coming into the club. Are you a big fan of the idea?
I'm a fan of the idea, and as I say, it's business partners, and they've been in business before. They were together at Arsenal. Yosimov obviously bought the shares off Mascheri for the investment to go forward at Arsenal. I think it didn't materialise. I think now he's got money in his back pocket and he needs a project that excites him. So no word of a lie. Mercer is probably obviously going to be in the ear of him saying, listen, the project's exciting or everything. Mm. He's obviously seen what we're about, what we've obviously sort of been talking and stuff. He's invested in the training ground. I think it's exciting to be an Everton fan at the moment. I think it's not going to be until probably maybe next year. I think he's going to sort of enjoy the rest, maybe, and I think next summer will probably be the sign of the investment, because with a project in motion, at the end of the day, we've gone through management, turmoil, and obviously changes. We've got Marco Silva now on a long-term contract. We've got players coming in, and obviously he's building for the future. We've got someone in now to development for the Bramall Murdoch. Mm. It's an exciting time to be an Everton fan, I think. What do you think? Do you think he will invest?
Listen, nobody knows, but what you said there, spot on. You know, it would be fantastic to come in or get him to come on board. Obviously said the new stadium is an ideal situation. He can see the club hopefully moving forward. But listen, I'm sure there's a long way to go, but certainly he's a friend of Mashiri, as a business partner with him as well. So I'm sure Mr. Mashiri would have been telling... He will know about Everton Football Club anyway. He will know about it. He's not daft. He's a football guy. So if it happens, I think it would be fantastic for the football club. But as Mick said, I think a few clubs have been mentioned. I think he said Milan, Newcastle. Obviously, we'll see all day long over Newcastle as a football club. Milan might have other opportunities for him. So we'll just have to wait and see. But certainly, I think the majority of Everton fans would love to see him on board if he's investing the money, which takes the club forward.
Thanks for calling the legends, Dave. Just a quick one, Gaz, you got 30 seconds on this one, pal. What do you want to say to Sharpie and Aldo? We've got Gary on the line. He's a Red.
Hello, Dave.
Gary, hi, mate.
I'm not too bad. I thought the West Ham game was superb.
Yeah, it was all right.
I thought the goalkeeper, Alisson, did that one mistake. I thought he's done all right.
Yeah, no, it's a quiet game for him. You know, it's a couple of kicks didn't go the way he wanted, but it was a doddle for him. He did what he had to do. You know, he played a couple of good balls into the round about the halfway line, pinged some good balls.
Yeah, what are you saying about Midlake? Like, for his goalkeeper? It's your goalkeeper, I think, tomorrow on the 23s. I can't remember his name. From Falcon.
Yeah, there's a game tomorrow. It's at Tottenham at Anfield, is it?
It is. Happy day tomorrow.
Oh, well, yeah, enjoy. I'm looking forward to it. I'll watch it on LFC TV, obviously. Yeah.
Nice one, Gary. Thanks for the call, pal. Appreciate
it. Guys, all the best,
running
mate.
Out of time. Thank you for we don't even have time for the mystery voices tonight. Don't forget, 3 o'clock kickoff, Everton versus Southampton. Fan supporting food banks will be out and about ahead of that game as well, and all home games for Liverpool and Everton if you're able to support fan supporting food bank during the season. Yep. Absolutely do. Don't forget, the Radio City Legends are back Monday pre-Crystal Palace. So, Reds, we want you on board for that one too. Sharpie and Aldo back every Monday and Thursday here on Radio City and Radio City Talk. We'll see you Monday.